ಗೋಪೀಜನ ಭಾಗಿರಿ ವರಲಾರಿ verses 59 and 60. Okay, so you know, we'll just do the first one responsibly and then we turn the other one. Vidurastu tad ashcharyam.
Vidurastu tad ashcharyam.
Nishamya kuru nandana.
Nishamya kuru nandana.
Harsha shokayutastasmat.
Harsha shokayutastasmat.
Ganta tirtha nishevaka.
Ganta tirtha nishevaka.
Please chant. Incident, ashcharyam, wonderful, nishamya, seeing, Kuru Nandana, O son of the Kuru dynasty, Harsha, delight, Shoka, grief, Yuta, affected by, Tasmat, from that place, Ganta, will go away, Tirtha, place of pilgrimage, Nishevakaha, from being, for being enlightened. Translation, Vidura, being affected with delight and grief, will then leave that place of sacred pilgrimage. Vidura was astonished to see the marvelous departure of his brother Dhritarashtra as a liberated yogi. For in his past life, he was much attached to materialism. Of course, it was only due to Vidura that his brother attained the desirable goal of life. Vidura was therefore glad to learn about it, but he was sorry that he could not make his brother turn into a pure devotee. This was not done by Vidura because Dhritarashtra's being inimical to the Pandavas, who were all devotees of the Lord. An offense at the feet of a Vaishnava is more dangerous than an offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. Vidura was certainly very liberal to bestow mercy upon his brother Dhritarashtra. His past life was very materialistic. But ultimately, the result of such mercy certainly depended on the will of the Supreme Lord in the present life. Therefore, Dhritarashtra attained liberation only. And after many such liberated states of life, one can attain to the state of devotion service. Yudhira was certainly very mortified by the death of his brother and sister-in-law, and the only remedy to mitigate such lamentation was to go out to pilgrimage. Thus, Maharaj Yudhishthira had no chance to call back Yudhira, his surviving uncle. This next verse we can do together. Iti upakharaha swargam narada sahatum guru yudhishthiro vachastasya kriti kripa cha chita. translation and purpose. Having spoken thus, the great sage Narada, along with his Veena, ascended into outer space. Yudhishthira kept his instruction in his heart and so was able to get rid of all limitations. Perfect. Sri Naradji is an eternal spaceman, having been endowed with a spiritual body by the grace of the Lord. He can travel in the outer spaces of both the material and spiritual world without restriction, and can approach any planet in unlimited space within no time. We have already discussed his previous life as the son of a maid servant. Because of his association with pure devotees, he was elevated to the position of an eternal spaceman, and thus had freedom of movement. One should therefore try to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and not make a futile effort to reach other planets by mechanical means. Maharaj Yudhishthira was a pious king, and therefore he could see Narada Muni occasionally. Anyone who desires to see Narada Muni must first be pious and follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the first canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hitrasya Fitzpur. Nama Om Shivadaya Vishwadishthaya Bhutadesha Vatiya Bhutadamata Sanatana Namaste Sarpati Deva Gola Vanatacharana Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashpatya Vishwadishthaya Vansha Kalpati Vibhascha Tuttasam Vibhira Chapati Tanam Padami Dhyo Vaishnavi Dhyo Namo Namaha. My father, when my mother would, they would both watch the movie or TV show or whatever. So my mother would, you know, get emotional or would express certain things like, why is this person doing that? Why is he acting like that? Or she would actually even cry when situations, you know, sometimes movies do that. And my father would get in her case. He said, why, don't you see, this is just a screen. These are not real people. You know, it's just a drama. So he would like really kill the spirit of a person, ruin it, yeah. And was he wrong? No, he was right. It's just illusory. It's just on the screen. There's no people there actually, you know, it's just a screen. So he was right. But was that the right thing to do? Not if you really want to enter into the mood or what the director of the movie is trying to do. Well, that's not the right thing. The right thing is to, you know that, yeah, it's a screen and you know it's an act, it's just an act, but you have to put that aside, kind of like bury it and enter into the movie. Now, we see that Soma Prabhu actually yesterday was talking about Bhagavatam. He's quoting the third verse of the Bhagavatam. Nigamakalpataro Dalitamphalam. Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Drink this Bhagavatam, which is Rasamalayam. It's full of juice. It's full of juice. And if we study the Bhagavatam and we continuously put in the front of our mind that, oh, this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and these are his pure devotees, and he's enacting this pastime, but pure devotees, sometimes that might be hard for us to actually enter the pastime, to actually relish the pastime, and to get the jewels that a pastime might be trying to give to you. There's so many jewels in the pastime, there's so much rust in the pastime. And we can actually appreciate it. We may have to put aside our thinking that these are pure devotees of the Lord and they're just Krishna's pastime and he's just doing that. We have to kind of put that aside sometimes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're just recently reading in our CC reading, Srila Prabhupada was saying something to the effect that in order to, we cannot relish the pastimes if we see too much awe and reverence, or instead exalted glories of the Lord. Sometimes we just concentrate on the exalted glories of the Lord. we may not be able to enter into the pastimes of the Lord. So I wanted to give, I mean, and we see that actually, another example I was thinking about the gopis. The gopis knew that Krishna was God. They knew actually. If you read in the Gopi Gita, there's one verse there's so many verses that the gopis are singing about the beauty of the Lord, the smile of the Lord, the intimate pastimes they had with the Lord. But in those verses, there is one verse that talks of, that they say about Krishna. Is something not. They say, I can't find it, but. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan. He says, you know, you're definitely not, nakhalu, definitely not, you're not gopika nandana. You're not the son of gopika, Mother Yashoda. But what are you? Antaratma drip. You are you are akhila dehina. Of all the living entities, you're antaratma drip. You are the personality who resides within their heart. And then the next line says about Lord Brahma, Lord, you have come here because Lord Brahma has asked you to come. And you have taken birth in the kula of the Yadus. They know all that, but they have put that aside to enjoy the pastimes, to relish the pastimes of Krishna with them. So this is just a preface that I'm expressing before I get into what I have to say today. Actually, I would like to ask forgiveness from Yudhishthira Maharaj that if I say something that might seem offensive to him, but since who he is as a person, he'll understand that my only goal is to glorify his Lord and actually glorify him. So I beg forgiveness from Yudhishthira Maharaj. I'd like to speak something about Yudhishthira Maharaj today. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport about Yudhishthira Maharaj was a very pious king and he was able to see Narad Muni. And I thought that this is the last verse of this topic that we've been talking, Dhritarashtra quits home. We've been hearing so much about Vidura, about Yudhishthira Maharaj, and how Narad Muni preached to him, and heard about Dhritarashtra. We're going to a different topic about disappearance of Lord Krishna in our next class. So I thought maybe let's just go a little more deeper in seeing Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj, as we know, that he had no enemy that was born. He had no enemies. We also know that Yudhishthira Maharaj was a very just king. And from his past, we know that Yudhishthira Maharaj, he got this land. Dhritarashtra had divided Hastinapur into two parts and gave him a little piece of land, which was really not a fertile land. And he gave that piece of land, Khandavaprastha. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, along with his brothers, four brothers, his dedicated brothers, his loyal brothers, brothers who saw him as their father, as their guru, they were totally 100% dedicated to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And because they loved Yudhishthira Maharaj and because they saw him as their spiritual master, because they saw him as their guide, they did everything for Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj performed a Rajasuya sacrifice. In order to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, they had to collect a lot of money. And who did that? It was Yudhishthira Maharaj's brothers who, under Yudhishthira Maharaj's guidance, under Krishna's guidance, they had to fight people and they had to get the money that they had to do for the Rajasuya Yajna. So when they performed, when they got all that wealth by great strength, by a lot of hard work, and the blessings of Krishna, they performed the Rajasuya Yajna, and we all know the story, but basically what happens that after that, Duryodhana was very envious of seeing what Yudhishthira Maharaj had. And so he wanted to take it from them. And so Duryodhana devised the means of asking his father to ask them to come for a gambling match. So here, Yudhishthira Maharaj knew that gambling was not good. And he didn't really want to do that. But because Yudhishthira Maharaj was a gentleman, he agreed. Because it was Dhritarashtra was asking. He did that because his uncle was asking him to do so. And Duryodhana challenged him. So he was a Kshatriya and he accepted the challenge. And we know Shakuni was a cheater. And even though Yudhishthira Maharaj said, you know, that there should be no cheating, but Shakuni, who was a cheater, he skillfully in his way of expressing things, rolled the dice, which was not normally done by somebody else. It was between Duryodhana and Yudhishthira, who was playing the chess game. So Yudhishthira Maharaj accepted the game and he played the chess. Not chess, it's actually called Chopard, which is like, I think the game here is called Pachisi or something. Is that the right word? Yeah, so it's like that. It's basically similar. You throw the dice and you, whatever. So so the very first time when Yudhishthira Maharaj lost the first round, he put precious stones and all his gold. He put all the gold and all the precious stones he had. And I remember how he collected all that. So he put that on stake. This is not asking his brothers. He didn't ask anybody's opinion. He was gambling, and he put that on stake. Then the dice got rolled again. He put his horses, chariots, weapons. These are Kshatriyas. This is their livelihood. This is who they are. Chariots, weapons, their weapons. He put them on stake, not his weapon. All the brothers' weapons. All the weapons of all the soldiers. He put all those weapons on stake. The dice was rolled again. And then he put his male servants and female servants. These are Yudhishthira Maharaj's loyal servants. They're like children. They're to be maintained like children. Yudhishthira Maharaj put his male and female servants on stake. Can you imagine if you were sitting there? Can you imagine if you were sitting there as one of the brothers of Yudhishthira Maharaj and seeing your brother, your guru, your father, giving away everything? Yudhishthira Maharaj did that. Would you call that abuse of power? He has other people who has done everything for him. But he abused his power to give away his male and female servants. And then his elephants and cattle and everything else that was moving, he put on stake. And after that, he stakes his land, his capital city that they just got from Dhritarashtra. He put that on stake. Then he had a brilliant idea. He lost everything. He lost everything. What he had, he lost everything. But he gets an idea. I'm going to put my brother, Sahadev, on stake. I mean, you really think about the seriousness of what Yudhishthira Maharaj did? We don't realize that. We say these pastimes and we don't think about it. But what did Yudhishthira Maharaj do? He put his brother on stake. I mean, that's unheard of. And not just Sahadev, then he loses Nakula and Arjuna and Bhima. I mean, when I think about it, it's actually the height of abuse of your power. How could Yudhishthira Maharaj do that? Can you imagine Bhima? Can you imagine Bhima, what he's thinking, what is going through him in his mind? They don't say anything. Talking about loyalty to one's guru, to one's father, to one's elder brother. But I'm not going in that direction. I just want to say about Yudhishthira Maharaj, what he did. And then finally, he puts himself on stake. And then, I don't know which one was it, Duryodhana or Shakuni or Karna, I forget which one of them said. He said, well, now I have nothing, I've lost everything. And he said, what about Draupadi? What about Draupadi? Soma Prabhu yesterday was talking about protection of women. And he was saying that we need more men who can actually protect their women. We need men who are responsible. We need those kind of men now in Kali Yuga. We don't have men who are responsible and willing to protect women. Yudhishthira Maharaj, what does he do? Forget about protecting his wife. He throws his wife in the lion's den. Here, take my wife and abuse her. That's pretty bad. I mean, that's unheard of. He puts his wife on stake. It's like for me when I see that the Mahabharata, that's just like every time I look at them, maybe because I identify myself as a woman, but when she's dragged in the assembly of those vultures, it's hard. But whose fault is it? Can we just blame Duryodhana? Can we just blame Dushasan? Does Yudhishthira Maharaj not take any blame for that? Is it not Yudhishthira Maharaj who put Draupadi at stake for that? Yudhishthira Maharaj treated everybody who was loyal to him like pawns on a chessboard. Okay, this one, that one, and his wife. that the question what arises, why is that Krishna was willing to fight, was willing to fight such a battle to put Yudhishthira Maharaj on throne when he did something what he did? This was done before the battle. This was done before Yudhishthira Maharaj took the throne. It was before. So this is in his written down. This is what he has done. Everybody knows this is what he has done. Krishna knows that he has done that. Why is that Krishna still wants to put Yudhishthira Maharaj on the throne? Would any one of us here sitting down would have agreed for having Yudhishthira Maharaj put on the throne? If somebody had done something like this, would any one of us would want Yudhishthira Maharaj to be on the throne? Would we have faith in Yudhishthira Maharaj? When we understand what, who Krishna is and how Krishna thinks, this will help us to understand at least somewhat why Krishna was willing to fight a battle in which 640 million people died. Why would he do that? And everything that Arjun said was afraid to fight. The reason he didn't want to fight that he expressed to Krishna. All that happened. The women became widows. There was Varna Sankar. Women got left unprotected. All that happened. And why was Krishna wanting to have that battle and have Yudhishthira Maharaj on the throne when Yudhishthira Maharaj abused his power to the max? I don't know. I at least haven't heard anybody doing that in our history of the world, to put their family, their brothers, their wife, their servants, everything on stake. This is something that we need to think, that what makes Krishna do that? Why does Krishna do that? Why he does that? Because of who Yudhishthira Maharaj actually is. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samya Vyavastito Hi Saha. He is Samya, completely situated properly. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually situated properly. Sadhu eva samantavya. He has to be considered a sadhu. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually situated properly. That verse is apiche suduracharo. We have heard that verse many, 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 many times. Apiche suduracharo. Even if somebody has done not durachar, not something bad. Su, extremely bad. What could be more extremely bad than what Yudhishthira Maharaj did? What could be more bad than that? I can't think of anything more bad than giving. These are devotees. I don't know about his loyal servants. I'm assuming they're also devotees. But devotees in the sense that I'm not talking about the ultimate sense. I'm talking about right there in this pastime. As we see this movie about Yudhishthira Maharaj along with his brothers and everything, these are Vaishnavas. These are Vaishnavas who had dedicated their lives to Yudhishthira Maharaj, to Krishna. So he has not treated his brothers properly. He has done suduracharya, something extremely bad. And Krishna says, apiche sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag. If somebody is rightly situated, even if they have done something really bad, then he is rightly situated and he is still a sadhu. Not only that, he says, ananyas chintayam to mam. He says in that verse, yoga kshema vahami aham. I will carry what they lack and preserve what they have. Why do you think Krishna came and took care of Draupadi? One thing is that Draupadi called out for Krishna, but Krishna does many things in one go, many things. Yudhishthira Maharaj was rightly situated, although he performed the most abominable act, but he was rightly situated. And because he was rightly situated, Krishna carried what he lacked. Yudhishthira Maharaj could not save his wife. He wanted to save his wife, but he couldn't do it. It was not in his hands. He was bound by dharma. He couldn't do it. But then what did Krishna do? Krishna took care of that. Krishna carried what he lacked. He preserved what he had and he carried what he lacked. When we understand what kind of person Krishna is, how much he loves his devotees, how liberal he is, how kind he is to his devotees, not just pure devotees, he's kind to all his devotees. I don't remember the verse, but the Bhagavatam describes, at least I remember Radha Govinda Maharaj saying that he's so grateful to somebody does even a little bit of thing. Like he said, like if there's something on your chadar or something and somebody removes it. That kind of little service Krishna never forgets. Our Lord, our Shyam Sundar, so beautifully dressed, he's not just so beautiful to look externally, but he has a beautiful heart. And we see, when we actually realize how beautiful of a heart Lord Krishna has, and especially towards his devotee, he's willing to fight. He has our back. Krishna has our back. Krishna is very kind. And we can't forget that. We can't forget Krishna's love for his devotees. In our lives, we may be in situations where we have made mistakes. Who hasn't made mistakes here? Who hasn't seen somebody else making mistakes? Who hasn't seen somebody making big mistakes? Who hasn't seen our leaders making big mistakes? Yudhishthira Maharaj had made a big mistake. He abused his power. It was, you could call it, certain kind of child abuse, certain kind of women abuse. He abused his power. But he was rightly situated. He was a gentleman. We know he was a gentleman. We see his life. We see so many instances in his life. Even in this life, in this topic that we're studying, his uncle and aunt have left, who is the one who tortured him and his family. And he's in full of anxiety. Oh, what happened to them? Have I been ungrateful in any way? What mistake have I made? He was a gentleman. His life was of one of justice. He followed dharma. But he made a big mistake. do we see, do we hear the devotees, Narada Muni, Vidura, reprimanding him for what he did in the past? I know Draupadi did. She had the right to do so. She's his wife. But Krishna is there protecting him. So yes, if we see around us, and if we see devotees have made mistakes, they're rightly situated. But yes, they have made mistakes. But yes, they are rightly situated. They have dedicated their lives to Srila Prabhupada. They have given their youth to Srila Prabhupada. They have given their middle age. They have given their old age to Srila Prabhupada. And yes, they have made mistakes. And maybe it was out of pride. Maybe it was out of revenge sometime. Maybe they were in illusion. But they really didn't really want to do that, but kind of they did that. Maybe it was because of their past karma and they had to go through that. But if they're rightly situated, then we can know from this pastime, at least we can know what our Lord Shri Krishna is thinking of them. At least we can think, we have some idea how Lord Krishna is thinking of them. I'm assuming he's thinking they're rightly situated. Yes, they may have to be punished. Yes, they may have to whatever. Things may have to go on that way for societal reasons. Prabhupada even says in one place in this, he says, sometimes, however it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. At least we know that how Krishna is thinking and how Srila Prabhupada is thinking. We see that in there's some situations even in Srila Prabhupada's lifetime amongst his disciples. But one that came to my mind was Bali Mardan Prabhu. And if you know the story of Bali Mardan Prabhu, he was just very, very extremely dedicated, responsible person that Srila Prabhupada depended on so much. So much. He had done so much service. But he did become a little illusioned. And he got married, or had a wife or girl, I don't know, was he married at that time or whatever, even to the point where they were offering unmentionable things to the deities, Radha Govinda in New York. And he had statements to Srila Prabhupada saying that drinking cow's milk is just like eating meat, Prabhupada. So why can't we eat meat? Why can't we offer meat to Krishna? He had his consciousness polluted like that. But even after that, and then Prabhupada wanted to rectify the situation, and you know, he was like really, it's interesting when that was brought, still he was very respectful in his communication with Bali Mardan Prabhu in his letters, and he was telling his other disciples that, you know, okay, I need to bring him back to path. And but even this was happened maybe sometime in 74, but even after he had gone through that, Srila Prabhupada was wanting him and putting him in the position of a GVC in Australia in 1976 or 77, I forget. That is Srila Prabhupada's love for his disciples. That is Sri Krishna's love for his devotees. So when we understand, or when we can think, we can meditate on this, it will help us to, for ourselves, when we remember our own activities that we may have done in the past, and we have repented for it. But we know how Krishna is feeling. He is happy to see when we repent, but he also wants us to always see us rightly situated. When we see others who have done something in the past, we can meditate on this pastime and see how Krishna was, how Krishna acted, what he thought. And in this way, we can meditate on these pastimes. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you have any question or comment. Yes, Mother Sukhada.
Look, I can understand the whole situation, kind of the way you're presenting it, and how it was Krishna's arrangement. In other words, Leela, just so that Bhagavad Gita can be spoken.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mother Sukhada, but as I mentioned earlier, and that's why I had the preface in the very start.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very important part of the class, was to mention that.
Yeah.
That we all know, Krishna, we all know this, that Yudhishthira Maharaj was a pure devotee. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was expressing, that's why I gave the example of my father telling my mother to say that this is just all illusion. But how can you enter a movie? How can we enter a movie and not appreciate what the director is trying to give by saying, oh, okay, this is just an illusion? We cannot enter into the pastime.
Mm-hmm.
We know all that. But how are we going to get the jewels from here if we keep on bringing that in front? We already know that.
Mm-hmm.
The gopis knew that Krishna was God. But they can't put that in front of it. How will they relish the pastimes?
Mm-hmm.
In order to relish, we have to put certain things aside to actually appreciate the pastime. So what you're saying is true. We all know that. But we have to enter the pastime to actually appreciate Krishna's love for his devotees. How can we understand Krishna's love for his devotees if we can't see that a devotee did such an abominable action and yet Krishna was there for him? If we put this in the front, how can we appreciate that? We have to enter the pastime sometime. We have to go deep in the ocean to get those jewels.
But it's just this idea of Dharma that's difficult to understand. I was even thinking yesterday about Dhritarashtra and everything that he had done. And Gandharan had tried so hard to counsel him and head him in the right direction, right? She knew that he was going down the wrong path. And so ultimately, there was a war, and she lost all her sons. It's like, how could she still have? I mean, I couldn't. You know, you've lost 100 sons. You told them you shouldn't do it. He was doing something wrong. He hasn't listened. All your sons die. But yet she still had so much affection that she, entered the fire after him. So unless I can see it, like you said, from that vision of everything, Krishna arranged everything, but it's hard to know. I mean, for something like that, coming from Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita, you can say, okay, that's Krishna's arranging that, but so many things in life, you can't just say that. It's like sometimes mistakes are made, really big mistakes that really affect people's lives, and you can't just say, oh, it's right? Krishna arranged this.
Yes. Any other question? Yes. 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 We all know that. We all know that, Mother Sukhdevi, and that's what I'm saying, we all know that. Who amongst here sitting does not know that is Krishna's arrangement? Anyone of us here does not know that is Krishna's arrangement? Anyone of us does not know that when you're watching a movie, that is just a movie? We can say, the thing is that, what I'm trying to say is that in order to appreciate something, like for example, if we say about Srila Prabhupada, you know what Srila Prabhupada did, he came to this world and he did to the West and he did what he did. And in few generations, people will say, yeah, Srila Prabhupada was a Shakti Avesha avatar. Srila Prabhupada was a Shakti Avesha avatar. That's just to me, that just dismisses Prabhupada's, the challenges he had to undertake, the austerity he performed. People will not believe that what Srila Prabhupada did. And just say, oh, well, he was a Shakti Avesha avatar, he was empowered. Yes, we can say he was empowered, but should we not just see what Srila Prabhupada did? Should we not really see the struggles he made? He was saying he was loitering in the street. How can a person, one person, at the age of what Srila Prabhupada did, how can anybody, people will not believe what he did. But the fact is that he did. And not because he was just Shakti Avesha avatar. No, he performed those activities. He struggled. He came and he danced in the kirtan. He was not that he wasn't feeling anything. Not that he was not disturbed by what his disciples were doing. He was. He was very much disturbed. But if we just throw in, he was a Shakti Avesha avatar and he was empowered by Krishna. How can we appreciate what Srila Prabhupada did? How can we appreciate Krishna's love for his devotees? We say it's Krishna's arrangement. They're pure devotees. How can we appreciate Draupadi? How can we appreciate Gandhari's dedication to Dhritarashtra? Her chastity. What Prabhupada says three times in this section we're reading, three times he has written purports about Gandhari was a chaste woman. I think just yesterday also, I was given twice that kind of purport about Gandhari being a chaste woman. How can we appreciate the chastity of Gandhari if we just say, oh, this was Krishna's arrangement? Gandhari was such a chaste woman that even after all that, and Dhritarashtra just let her go, after all she did, all her sons were lost, and Dhritarashtra just gave her up after hearing from Vidura, he just gave her up and just went to the forest. It was Gandhari who, he didn't even care. Prabhupada said he didn't even care for Gandhari. She's the one who followed Dhritarashtra. So how can we appreciate? Because we're not that. Because we're not that chaste. We're not that loyal. We're not loyal like Yudhishthira's brothers. We're not loyal like that. We're not chaste like that. So therefore we cannot understand that. And therefore we can just put this thing on top saying, yes, it's Krishna's arrangements. Yes, it was. No. We have to appreciate. When we go deeper, then we can actually appreciate Krishna's love for his devotees. And that's how I see it. That's how I that's one way. And therefore, I expressed my forgiveness to Yudhishthira Maharaj before I started the class. Because I have no intention to offend Yudhishthira Maharaj. That's not my desire here, to sit on the asana and criticize Yudhishthira Maharaj. No. My desire is to express the love that Krishna has for his devotees. And even sometimes they make grievous mistakes.
Thank you for a very nice class. I just wanted to ask you if you wanted to add how
Yudhishthira Maharaj repented, or how Draupadi and especially Bhima forgave him? If he wanted to ask. Yes. Maybe it's another class in itself.
But I did mention that he repented. I mentioned about how Yudhishthira Maharaj's character and how he repented for his acts. Okay, I think I will stop here. It's time. Yeah, I think I will finish. What's that? Maybe another time we can finish it now. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.